Tonight's shir, Parshas Vayera, Le'ili Nishmas Mori V'chami, Zal was nifter this week, and Le'ili Nishmas Nasan Sifinkel, that's all nifter today. This Parsha begins with the Hachnasas Orchim of Avram Avinu. Meforshim are bothered, why do we find Torah going into great detail with how Avraham was so forthcoming to his guests and all the details and what he served them, etc. But later on the Sedra, we get to Lot, when he also took in these three people. There, the Torah doesn't go into any great detail. Why not? In fact, one would think it should be the opposite. Lot was almost mostly nefesh for these guests. Right, he took him into the house in the midst of storm when they didn't allow guests, and they was putting put his life at risk. Right, they wanted to kill him, and still he took in the guests. So why does the Torah not go into great detail by Lot as it does to Avraham? So three answers. One answer given is Einachanami. Lot did a very nice thing. However, he grew up by Avraham, so he was just copying Avraham, just used to what he saw by Avraham. So therefore, the Torah goes into a great deal with the source, where Lot learned it from, and that's from Avraham. Another answer is that Lot's very nice taking in the guests, but in the end, what happened? He was willing to sacrifice his daughters. You know, he said, no, don't touch my guests. Here, take my daughters instead, told the people of Sodom. So anybody who's willing to sacrifice his family for his guests, that's not something worthy to talk about. And finally, famous answer is the difference between Avraham and Lot is Avraham thought these were three Arabs, and besides that, he was sick. He was you know, after the Mila, and he was probably putter from the mitzvah of Hachnas Orchim. Yet, even though he thought there were these strange Arabs, and he was after Bris Mila, still he took them in. Whereas Lot already knew these were angels, so it's not such a big deal if you have angels coming knocking at your door. While on topic of Hachnasas Orchim, I'd like to share a story with you. There was once a bacher, his name was Leib, and he was at the time 14 years old. He was in Shiva Ketana in Russia, and he was coming home. He lived in Stutzen, and he was coming home for Shabbos. So he had to make his way with this train, that train. Things got delayed, and he thought he would get home in time, but he saw that he wasn't going to go on the regular schedule of the trains. He wasn't going to make it home in time for Shabbos. So he was getting worried, and he saw he wasn't going to make it, so he went to the conductor of the train. He says, I'm supposed to go to Stutzen. I'm not going to make it. I have to get off early. Is there any other stops you can tell me about before? So he said, well, there's this place, that place. One of the places was a town very close to Radin, walking distance from Radin. So he goes, oh, wonderful, I'll get off there. Why? Because he was related to the Chafetz Chaim. His grandfather was the Chafetz Chaim's brother, close relative. So he figured, I'm sure the Chafetz Chaim will take me in, for Shabbos, not a problem. So he gets off of that stop, quickly runs to Radin, and it was ready Friday, Friday afternoons before Shabbos. He knocks on the door, and the Rebbetzin answers. So she says, oh, Leib, well, a long time no see. So he asks, is the Chafetz Chaim around? So he says, well, no, he's already in shul. He gives the shir before Shabbos to some balabatim, whatever. And but please, make yourself comfortable, and, fine. So he was exhausted from all the running around and the train rides and this. So she said, why don't you have some time before Shabbos, why don't you just relax and catch a little nap maybe? So he says, great idea. So he conks out on the couch, and he really conks out. And he falls into a deep sleep. And next thing you know, he wakes up, and he's a little bit... like, what's going on? Where am I? And then he realized where he was. And he saw the Chafetz Chaim sitting there learning. So Chafetz Chaim turns to him and goes, oh, Shalom Aleichem, this. Very good. So I'm glad you woke up. You missed shul, but okay, happens. So wash up or whatever, and we'll make Kiddush. I'll call my wife, this. So, okay, calls his wife. And comes down, fine, they're sitting, eating, making Chavetz Chaim Eis Kiddush, Motzi, you know, Shabbos meal. Very good, very enjoyable. So after the meal, Chavetz Chaim turns to Leib and he says, okay, I'm a little bit tired. I think I'm going to go retire for the night, you know. So he says, okay. So Shabbos, fine. And then he leaves, goes to his room. So Leib says, okay, you know, he didn't have anything really else to do himself. So he says, okay, maybe I'll try to go back to sleep again. So he put his head down, but, you know, he just slept, so he wasn't tired anymore. So he was, like, wandering around the house, sees maybe what's in the kitchen, you know. So he wanders into the kitchen, and he sees a clock, and it says on the clock, 4 o'clock. So he's like, 4 o'clock? He says, obviously, this, you know, clock's broken. You know, it's fast, slow, or something. I don't know. Something's wrong with the clock. It's not 4 o'clock, you know. I'll be, I don't know, maybe 9 in the evening, whatever, 8, 9, but it can't be 4 o'clock. Okay, so he's wandering around until he you know, gets tired again, and he goes, sleeps until the morning, and that's that. So when he wakes up in the morning, he sees there, hears some noise in the kitchen. He walks in, the Rebbetzin's there, you know. So, preparing for Shabbos meal, whatever. So he says, speaking about this and that, and he says to her, tell me, this clock over here you have is obviously broken, right? And she says, no. Why do you think it's broken? She says, well, because I woke up, you know, I couldn't go to sleep after the suda. I walked in the kitchen, it said 4 o'clock. Oh, something's wrong. She goes, no, the clock's right. She says, what do you mean? It said 4 o'clock. She says, okay, I'll tell you exactly what happened. That you came, you fell asleep when you came, and you slept through my or whatever, and my husband came home, you know, and I said, okay, so let's wake up our guest so we can make Kiddush and Motzi and, you know, get on with the Suda. So he said, no, he's, I'm sure, very tired from the way he was traveling a lot and this and that, and he's exhausted, let him sleep. So we let you sleep a little bit, you know, another 10, 15, 20, an hour, you know. But so then Chavetz Chaim saw you weren't waking up. So he said, told me and our son, Aaron, to eat. My son will make Kiddush for me and Motzi, and we'll eat. And he said, I'll wait for our guests. And when he gets up, so then I'll call you. So my husband, Chavetz Chaim, was sitting there learning. Another hour, until you finally woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning. And he made it as if, you know, you just woke up, you know, just after Knesset Shabbat, you know. So he called me down and I got, you know, came to the table. But I'd already, you know, eaten and everything before, but I pretended that I hadn't. And, you know, Chavetz Chaim meant Kiddush and Motzi, whatever, and you thought you had the suda at a normal hour. Meanwhile, it was really 3 o'clock in the morning. So he was taken aback. And he realized that had he not noticed the broken clock, you know, had he not wandered into the kitchen, he would have never even known all this. He would have thought that, yeah, okay, he woke up after Shabbos came in, had Kiddush, and would never realize the godless Chavetz Chaim, that the whole show he played, that this shouldn't make him feel uncomfortable, and he made it as if he woke up on time. Okay, it says, the pasuk that Avraham Avinu he saw the guests coming, so he left. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him at the time, and he said, "Vayomer Hashem, imnam etzasichem enecha, al tavor mi alav decha, Hashem, don't go away, stay here. I'll be right back. I just have some guests to deal with." So Chazal say, from here we see gedolach nasas chorchim yoter mekabalas pnei shechina. That here Avraham Avinu left the Shekhinah to go to the guests. So greater is the guests than Hakbalas Pnei Shekhinah. So a question is asked, how do we see here that it's greater? Maybe it's the same. There's various answers. The Gras says the following. It says the halacha is that when you're speaking to your Rebbe and then you're leaving the presence of your Rebbe, you're not supposed to turn your back to your Rebbe. You're supposed to walk away, you know, facing him, like back up. So to the Kohen Gadol, when he leaves the Kodesh HaKadashim, you don't turn your back, he walks backwards, facing. Ah, Mimele over here, Avraham was talking to the Shekhinah, listening to the Shekhinah, whatever it was. And now he was leaving the Shekhinah. He says, Hashem, don't leave. Now, he should have walked backwards, right? Parting the Shekhinah. But he didn't. he turned around back to the Shekhinah and went to the Orchim. He didn't want to, you know, put his back towards the Orchim. And he ran, turned around back to the Shekhinah and ran to the Orchim. How do we know that? Because it says, Vayar, Vayaretz Likrasam. He ran towards them. Meaning, he wasn't backwards, he was running towards them. Meaning, he put his back towards the Shekhinah. Aye, how could he do that? Must be that Gedola, Hachnasas Orchim, is greater than Hakbalas Panei Shekhinah. So therefore, he was able to turn his back to the Shekhinah and run towards the Orchim. Says in the pasuk Yukach Namad Mine, he told the his visitors to take that he wanted to give them water. So he said, "Water, Yukach Namad Mine, little water will be brought to you." So Rashi's medayik, he didn't say, "I'm going to bring you water." He says, "Will be brought to you." So mashma that it says Rashi was al yedei shaliach, that he didn't bring it himself. Avraham, he had a shaliach bring the water for them. It says Rashi, "Vagadosh Baruch Hu shilim lebanav al yedei shaliach." Sounds like it was a no-no. Shouldn't have done that. Because Avraham didn't do it himself, and he had a shaliach do it, in the end, in the future, mida keneged mida, Hashem was going to repay him, and there's going to be water brought al yedei shaliach in the desert to Klal Yisrael. By who? By Moshe Rabbeinu, Shneemar, Vayaren Moshe es yadov, Vayach es haselah. Moshe lifted up his hand, and he hit the rock. And we know what happened after Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. Right? He was punished, wasn't able to carry to Israel. That was all because the water came through Moshe Rabbeinu Shaliach, which was all because of Avraham over here by not bringing the water himself. So I saw in a sefer called Bini Shlomo, and he asks, why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished? And why was, excuse me, Avraham Avinu punished? L'chura, like we said before, Avraham Avinu didn't know that these three people were angels or whatever. He thought they were Pashta Arabs, as Russians, they bow down to the dust of their feet. And so he didn't have any responsibility to himself bring water that they should wash his feet. He says, let somebody else bring the water. I'm not interested in serving them until they get this Avodah Zarah dirt off their feet. Okay? So that was perfectly normal, okay, at this point. So why was Hashem punishing him and bringing the water out of the Shaliach? Because he didn't do it himself. Why? What did he do wrong? So he says a very interesting answer. With one Akdama. It says, before the Svarim bring down, that had Moshe Rabbeinu not sinned, and had he gone into Eretz Yisrael, he would have ended up building the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash would have never been destroyed. It would have been because of Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have gone to Eretz Yisrael, had the Beis HaMikdash been built, it would have never been destroyed. So that sounds like a wonderful thing. You know, wow, can you imagine? That would have been great. Wow, too bad he sinned, right? Would have had the Beis HaMikdash, would have never been destroyed. However, Chazal tells us that was not such a great thing, wouldn't have been such a great thing. Why? Because Chazal tells us that in time of the Churban, that Hashem took out His anger, His chamas, al etzim avanim, when we sinned, and luckily He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash instead of us. He really should have destroyed us, chas v'shalom. But instead He took His anger out on the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so it was very beneficial that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go in, because had he gone in, there would have been a Beis HaMikdash that would have not been able to be destroyed, and Hashem, chas v'shalom, would have had to destroy us. In fact, that's why they say that one of the reasons they give that Tisha B'Av is called a Moed. We don't say Tachanun on Tisha B'Av. It's called a Moed. So what's Pshat Moed? So this is one of the reasons they give is because we have to be thankful. It's a Moed that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, not us. It should have been us. But Hashem took His anger on the Beis HaMikdash. But that's only because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, they say that's why Hashem didn't want to let Moshe Rabbeinu in. He davened 515 tefillos. Hashem, no, you're not going in. Stop right now. No, don't continue davening because I don't want to let you in. Why? Let him go in. No, because Hashem knew this. If He's going to let Moshe Rabbeinu in, it would have been a Beit HaMikdash. It would have been destroyed, and then Hashem would have had to destroy us. So it was all for the best. Now, why again did Moshe Rabbeinu not go in and then have the Beis HaMikdash built, which wasn't to be destroyed? Why? Because he hit the rock. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock? Because the water was supposed to have to come through him, the Shaliach, and he messed up, and so speaking, he hit or whatever, and then he was punished. Meaning, that had the water come from Hashem directly, like the man or whatever, not through a shaliach, what would have happened? Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have hit the rock because he wouldn't have been involved with the water, like he wasn't involved with the man or whatever, it would come by itself. And he would have therefore not sinned with the rock, and therefore he would have come into Eretz Yisrael. There would have been a base of meters that would have not been destroyed, and that would have been the end of the Jewish people. So, it was all for the good that, in fact, Avraham Avinu had the water brought through a shaliach. Therefore, in the future, the water in the desert was brought by Shaliach Moshe Rabbeinu, which was Baruch Hashem for us. Because then Moshe Rabbeinu sinned, since he was, and then he wasn't allowed in. Beis Hamikdash was able to be destroyed, and we're around today. So it comes out that it's not a punishment to Moshe, to Avraham Avinu, that he brought the water through shaliach. It was all for the betterment of Klal Yisrael, for in the future. Pasuk says that Avram said to Sarah, his wife, Mahari shlosh tzim kemach soles lushi v'yasu yugot. Says here, quickly, you know, take three saws of kemach soles and make ugos, make matzahs. So the Gemara in Baba Metzia da Pei Zayin says, what's this kemach soles? Kemach is not such good flour, unrefined flour, and soles is refined flour. So what is it? Take kemach soles. What was it? Was it kemach or soles? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak mikan sheish et sarai neha beorchim yoser minayish." That here we see that a woman is stingy when it comes to hachnasas orchim. Meaning, says Rashi over there, that Avraham Avinu said, you know, Mari, you have to read it. Mari shloshim, bring three saws. Then what did Sarah say? Kemach? I'll bring kemach, right? Avram said, no, solas. Bring solas. So you see, she only wanted to bring kemach. And he said, no, bring solas. Here we see that a woman is stingy when it comes to orchim more than the man. However, that's Rashi seems to learn like that over in Bamut. So yeah, there's another girs over there which says not that way. And that is, that bring kemach, that was Avram talking. And Sarah said, no, I'm going to bring solas. Mikan, that a woman is stingy for him. So everybody asks the question. That doesn't make any sense. Avram said, let's bring the not nice stuff. And then Sarah said, no, bring the soulless, the nice stuff. Oh, here we see a woman stingy more than a man. Woman stingy more. She was better. She wanted to give the soulless. So the Kilas Moshe says the answers with the following mashal. He says, there was once a lion who had a son, baby lion, who was growing up. And he said, called him over one day, and he says, listen, son, he says, it's enough, I'm feeding you enough, you're old enough to go out there and get your own food. So from today on, you're going to attack your animals, whatever, and you have, you know, fend for yourself. So the lion said, oh, come on, dad, no, I can't do that, I can't, I'm scared what's going to be, I don't know, I'm scared, I can't go out there in the world. So then the father says, what are you worried about? Don't you know that we're the king of the jungle? We're lions. Lion, everybody's scared of lions. What are you worried about? You have nothing to be worried about. We're the king of the jungle. So the son, no choice. He said, okay. So the little lion goes out, and he's wandering around. He comes to the city, and he sees this gate. And over the gate of the city is a picture. And he sees it's a picture of David HaMelech as he destroys a lion and a bear. And the little lion says, oh my gosh, I'm so, look at that, there's this guy, he's like killing this lion. He goes to this other gate of the city, and he sees a picture of Shimshon, a gibor, ripping apart a lion. So he goes, ah! He's all scared, he runs back home. He says, you, dad, what did you tell me? He said, oh, king of the jungle, look, I saw these pictures of David HaMelech and Shimshon, and they're destroying these lions, and I told you I have what to be scared about. So the father said, you fool. He said, don't you understand? He said, tell me something. Why do you think they have pictures? If the pshat is that lions are weak and then anybody can, why would they have a picture of these people beating up the lions? It must be that it's something weird, something strange, something out of the norm. Normally, as you, nobody can beat up a lion. Therefore, they have these pictures. Oh, here's a yotzim in the cloud. Here's an exception to the rule. Look, these are people that normally doesn't happen. Because it's announced, that shows you there's something abnormal. And therefore, you have nothing to be worried about. The Mela, the Nimshal, same thing over here. We asked, if Avram said, bring the Kemach, and Sarah said, no, bring the Solas, how do we see here the women are stingy? The answer is, because of the Torah. Why did the Torah announce it? Here, Sarah brought Solas! Wow! And what's the big deal? Must be that, for some reason, normally that's not the case. Or else, why would the Torah go out of its way and say that Sarah here brought the good stuff? Must be that normally women do not bring the good stuff, and therefore that's why Rabbi Yitzchak was able to see that a woman is stingy when it comes to orchim. Aga was just thinking a simple pshat this year. It has occurred to me that some people use this call, male chauvinistic. You know, what do you mean? A woman is stingy when it comes to orchim. It's not. So first of all, one little small diuk. Right, Chazal said what over here? It says, from here we see, Mikan, that Isha is Sara Eineha Beorchim Yotemine Ish. Right, that she's more stingy when it comes to, with guests, more than the man. Notice, it doesn't just say the woman is stingy when it comes to guests. It doesn't just say that. It says more than the man. Meaning, so that lightens up the thing a lot. Meaning, if let's say zero is no hachnas orchim, 10 is the best. So let's say men are 10, and a woman is 9. So is that correct to say that a man, that she's more stingy than the man? Yeah, he's 10, she's 9. She's more stingy than a man. In other words, Chazal didn't just say a woman is stingy. It's just she is more stingy than the man. Okay, but it doesn't mean she's stingy. It means relative to the man, she's stingy. Okay, but still, what, is that true? So, chura, but when you think about it, you have guests coming over Friday night, right? Come into your house. Who set the table? Your wife. Okay? Who cleaned the room before the table was set? Your wife. Okay? Who cooked the meal? Your wife. Who serves the meal at the table? Your wife. Who cleans the table off? Your wife. Who cleans the dishes after the thing? Your wife. So big. Okay, the husband. Wow, he's not stingy. It's not hard to be stingy. We don't do anything here. Hey, come over. Enjoy. And the poor wife slaving away. Okay, so she's a little bit, stingier than the man. Okay, I mean Megillah. Okay. Pasuk says, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Avraham Avinu says, Vanochi Afar Ve'efer. He says, I'm dust and ashes. The Gemara in Chulin says, I'm a Rava, Bishar Shamar Avraham Avinu, Anochi Afar Ve'efer, Zachu Banav L'shtei Mitzvahs. Efer Para and Afar Sota. Because Avraham Avinu said, Anochi Afar Efer, so he was Zocha these two mitzvahs, the ashes of the para and the sota, the dirt put in the sota water. So what's the connection? What's the connection? Afar Efer, okay, they're both Afar and Efer, what's the connection? So the Magi Midum now gives the following mashal. He says, there was once a wealthy man, and he made a fancy chasna, for his son. So a big suda, huge suda. And in walks a big tzaddik, and the tzaddik was as great a tzaddik was also a great anav, right? Very big anav. So the father, sees this tzaddik walk in to the chasna. Oh, please, Rebbe, come to the head table, sit down, have a seat for you right next to the chasna, And he's like, no, chasna shalom, who am I? No. He says, no, you must sit at the head table. No. Refuse. Nothing doing. I don't deserve it. At the head table. No. And he just sat, with the some people, as a table some. Anyways, the father, said, felt bad. He says, so he had an idea. What did he do? He called over the waiters and he says, we're doing a little bit of rearranging here of the hall. And what did they do? They left this tzaddik where he was sitting, but they rearranged the tables and made that the head table where he was sitting and put the rabbanim next to him, and he ended up being in the head table in the end. So too says Nimshal. Avraham Avinu is like, Anochi Avraham Nachzi, I'm Afar and Afer, I'm dust and ashes, I'm nothing. So Hashem says, didn't want it. What do you mean you're nothing? You're not nothing, Avraham Avinu. Yeah, I'm nothing, Avraham. So fine, you're nothing. I'll bring the nothing to you. I'll make you special, right? So what does he do? So he takes the Afar and he turns it into Afar Soter. He takes the Afer, makes it into Afar Paradua, Mitachashav Mitzvah. So Avraham wants to run away. I'm Achim, you're out. Oh, nah. Afar Afer, I'll make Afar Afer Chashim then. The Maisa connected to the Parsha, it says Vatikra Shema Moav, right? The Benot Lot, they had children with the father when he ran away from Sodom, and his daughter named one named Moav, one Ben Ami. So there's an unbelievable Maisa, you can look it up yourself, it's in the Hakdama to Igris Moshe Chelek Dalet. It's unbelievable, Maiso. So it took place in the winter of 1922, Tafresh Pei Beis. And story goes like this. There was a fellow who lived in Moshe's town over there. And his tongue had really got swollen, turned into a huge tongue, swollen tremendously. Tremendous pain and discomfort, obviously. And Ramosha came to visit him. And they said, you know, Bikur Cholim, whatever. So the man called Ramosha aside and he said, I want to tell you why this happened to me. So Ramosha says, I'm all ears. So he said, last week was Parshas Vayera. And I was discussing the Inyan with the Benot Lot, you know, how they live with their father and had children. And I was speaking very derogatorily against the Benot Lot. That what they did, and I was saying, you know, I can imagine naming your son Moav, Mi'av, right? That's the name of the son, you know, from my father. Because how could you have done such a disgusting thing? Bad enough what she did, but she's calling her son Moav, Mi'av, from my father. And I was speaking very negative against him. Fine. That night, last Shabbos, I went to sleep, and in a dream, I see these women. Two like older women covered up this, I know what, who or what. And all of a sudden they start talking to me. They said, we are the daughters of Lot. And you spoke very negatively against us. And we just like to explain what the real story is. You said, oh, how could you call Ben, you know, from my father, Moab, I call a name like that, Moab. She said, I'll tell you what happened. That we lived with our father, right? He got pregnant from him. And we were worried that since we come from Avram's Mishpacha, so we're Chashav, you know, Chashav Yichus, and we were the only ones that were saved from the destruction of Sodom, so we were afraid that if we have a child, you know, after we ran away, people are going to think, hey, where did this kid come from? Well, there are such tzedekuses, it didn't come from their father, Chas V'Shalom, they wouldn't have lived, but they're pregnant. Well, where did the kid come from? Ah, it must be immaculate conception. It must be that they came pregnant from the Shekhinah, whatever. And we didn't want people to say that because we didn't want a new religion like Christianity to come that, oh, you know, there can be such a thing as getting pregnant without a man. And then it would start a new religion and we didn't want that to happen. So therefore, I dafka called my kid Moav from my father that people shouldn't think, nah, it's not from Shekhinah, nah. Okay, I did it with my father, right, wrong, whatever it was, but it's from my father. There's no immaculate conception over here. This is from my father. And that people shouldn't learn and start a new sect. So it's an unbelievable thing, right? Here she was, she's my most nefesh, taking all the busha, whenever, by saying this, and because just in order that people shouldn't create bad religions. So what happened? The end of the story goes, when Moshe heard this, and he says, you know, wow, that's amazing, you know, and he said, you know, the Meraglim, when they spoke against Eretz Yisrael, their tongues, you know, went down to their navels or whatever. So here, my tongue got swollen because I spoke about, I'm sure that's why it happened, because I spoke about, you know, Ben Oslot, and like, they came to me in a dream and told me. So Moshe heard, and he said, sounds amiss. And then the man turned his face away toward the wall, and he was nifter on the spot. Moshe, the mice are recorded in Igros Moshe. Okay, share with you one last idea. It says in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel. Says by the Vayikra, Avram es shem beno hanolad lo asher yaldo lo Sara Yitzchak, and Avram Avinu, he called the name of his son that his wife gave birth to, Yitzchak, and then Vayamal Avraham es Yitzchak beno ben shmanas yamim, he gave him a bris mila 8 days kasher tziva oso Elokim. So the Maimer Mordechai says there are two things that were very schwer for Avram, difficult for Avram. And they're related to him in these two psukim. The first one is that he called his son Yitzchak. It's very hard for Avram to call his son Yitzchak. Why? Because where does the word Yitzchak come from? From Sarah, right? She said, "Lama tzachaka Sarah?" Why did when Sarah heard that she's going to have a son, she laughed. And "Lama tzachaka?" Why did Sarah laugh? She was castigated that she shouldn't have laughed, etc. So here, every time Avram calls his son, "Hey Yitzchak," it's reminding us and them and whoever about this thing that Sarah did. It was not so right that she laughed when she heard she was going to have the son. So it's very hard for him. Reminds me like the well-known Maisa, became well-known, with Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Right? There was once a woman, and she's living in this apartment building, and she gave birth to a boy. And she was thinking what to, you know, name to give it, at the breath, whatever, to the boy. And it wasn't too much of a difficult decision, really, because she had just lost her father not so long ago. She said, "Oh, perfect, I'll name after my father, Moshe," whatever. However, it wasn't so simple. Why? Because in that building, not too long ago, prior to this, there was a little boy that tragically got killed in the building. And his name was Moshe. So the wife was a little bit nervous naming her own kid Moshe after this other kid Moshe was this nifter. Ayin Hara, this, whatever, I don't know. Didn't sit well with her. She was a little nervous, you know, naming her kid Moshe after this other Moshe died or whatever. But, you know, then Mitzacheni, Kibud Aveim, you know, I mean, maybe after her father, you know. So she didn't know what to do. So she went to Shlomo Zalman Orbach and asked him the Shaila. So she said, "I don't know, Shai, name Moshe." So he said, Chas v'sholom, he says, "Aser, we aser for you to name your kid Moshe. Aser." So she's like, "Aser, you know, you mean the ayin of, you know, ayin hara, whatever, so great, you know, that it's aser for me." She says, "No, it's not ayin hara. That's not." So that's not why you should name it. He says, "Then why?" He says, "I'll tell you why. Can you imagine? Think ahead a little bit. 2-3 years from now, whatever, your kid, that's about the shem, grows up." Healthy kid, and he's playing around in the front of the building, you know, with the other kids, whatever. And it's time for dinner. What happened? You're going to stick your head outside, out of the window, and says, "Moshe, come up for dinner, Moshe." And on the other floor is this woman who lost her son called Moshe not so long ago, a few years before. Can you imagine how that woman's going to feel? How it's going to hurt her when every time she hears "Moshe, Moshe," it's going to hurt her so much. It says, "We asked her for you to call your son Moshe because of that, because you will hurt this other woman's feelings. That's why." And unbelievable, right? She says, "Doiche kibud aveim," right? Because she has a mitzvah kibud aveim to name her son Moshe after her father. But no, this inyan of sensitivity to the others was doche, even kibud aveim, big chiddush. So same thing over here with Avraham. You know, he said, "Name my kid Yitzchak." It's hard, you know. Yitzchak, my wife laughed, and that's why he's named Yitzchak. Second thing was difficult was the next pasuk. Right, but Yamal Avram Yitzchak Beno Ben Shmanas Yamim, little kid. Avram was minas a chesed, and he's like taking this little kid and operating, you know, cutting him up, and it was hard for Avram. But so that's the end of the pasuk. These two pasukim, Avram called his name of his son Yitzchak. He mauled his son Yitzchak. Two things were very difficult to him. Why? Kasher tziva also Elokim, says the Maimer Mordechai, because Hashem commanded him. That was Avram Avinu. Right? It's difficult. This might be, that might be, but Kodesh Baruch Hu says, and that was the Iker of Avram Avinu to doing the Ratzon Hashem. Zot Hashem, we should continue in the path of our forefathers We should say, follow in their footsteps, and also run after the Ratzon Hashem, and Hashem should follow suit, and bring us the Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhir V'Yameinu, Amen.